Right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the planning committee. This is the first one of the new year, and I wish everyone a happy and healthy new year.
Thank you, Chair.
Happy New Year.
So we'll now move in, and I'll read the statutory declarations. All persons present are reminded that the meeting may be recorded, and by attending this meeting, you are given your consent to being filmed and your image being used. You are kindly requested to make a note to the chairman if you intend to film or record this meeting. Does anyone intend to film or record? Thank you. The council is aware that planning applications may be controversial and emotive for those affected by the decisions made by this committee. However, all persons present are reminded that the council will not tolerate abusive or aggressive behaviour towards staff or other visitors attending this meeting. And anyone behaving inappropriately will be required to leave the meeting and the building. The monitoring officer would like to remind members that when they are considering whether the following items are exempt information under the relevant paragraph under Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Local Government Act 1972, they must have regard to the public interest test. This means that members must consider for each item whether the public interest in maintaining the exemption from disclosure outweighs the public interest in making the items available to the public. Thank you. So we'll move on now to the agenda. Agenda item one, apologies for absence. I have apologies from Councillor Russell Bone, Russell Johnson and Michael Wyatt. Councillor Verge Rakiki is substituting for Russell Bone, and Councillor John Geary substituting for Councillor Russell Johnson. Are there any other apologies? No, thank you. Councillor Bowen is not with us this evening because he had operations on both of his eyes on Saturday. I've actually been in touch with his wife, and it appears that the operations were successful, but if the committee are in agreement, I'd like us to send him a letter wishing him well.
Second,
he can do that.
We'll do so, okay. Chair.
Agenda item two, declarations of interest. All members are aware of the code of conduct. Are there any declarations of interest? Could you please state if it's pecuniary or non-pecuniary, to which item it relates and for what reason? Do I have any declarations?
Go around the chamber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Councillor
Holt. Thank you, Chairman. Ashby Town Council, Chairman of the Planning Committee, Ashby Town Council. Okay. I will open mine.
Thank you,
Councillor Holt. Councillor Geary. Thank you, Chairman. Non-pecuniary, agenda item one, and I will keep an open mind until after the presentations and the debate.
Councillor Green.
Thank you, Chair. I've been lobbied on A1 and A2. I'm here with an open mind. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Geeky. Councillor Bridget.
Agenda item A1, I have been lobbied on, but I'm here with an open mind.
Councillor Canning. Councillor Clark.
I've been lobbied on A1 without influence.
A1 without influence.
A2 as a member of Ashby Town Council Planning Committee.
Can I just backtrack A1?
Sorry?
I have remembered A1.
Okay. Thank you. Agenda item 3, the minutes. Can I confirm the minutes from the last Planning Committee meeting held on the 3rd of December 2019 as an accurate record of the proceedings? And do I have a seconder?
Seconded
by Councillor Green. All in favour, please show. Thank you. Anyone against? Thank you. The minutes are therefore agreed. Agenda item A1. Residential development for up to 30 dwellings. Outline application with details of part access. 67 Station Road, Horoscope, Colville. Are any members of the committee required to remove themselves from the consideration of this application? And if so, could their substitute step forward? Thank you. Please, could the relevant planning officer present their report?
Thank you, Chairman. Members may recall the application was deferred at the October committee, the first October committee, on the basis that there was a significant flooding incident in Station Road, and therefore it was deferred for further investigations carried out in this respect. The application relates to the an hour application for the erection of up to 30 dwellings at 67 Station Road, Coke, and at this stage only part access is for approval. The site is within the limits of development and a stable settlement, so therefore there's no objection in principle to development with the provision of the Section 106 agreement securing all relevant contributions. It is also considered that at the reserved matters stage should outline consent be granted, satisfactory design could be brought forward, as well as ensuring that any development does not adversely impact on residential amenity. Consequently, the main issues that have arisen as part of the development are the impact of development on highway safety, as well as drainage and flood risk. In relation to highway safety matters, the members' attention is drawn to the update sheet where the planning history associated with the site is outlined. In that respect, obviously the last application which was refused on the site on highway safety grounds was in 1992, but there have subsequently been decisions approved which haven't obviously objected to the development on highway safety grounds, even though there was an appeal dismissed in 1999. For their part, the County Highways Authority do not object to the application, subject to the imposition of relevant conditions. The proposal would result in the upgrading of the existing access so as to facilitate two-way vehicle movements. And in terms of visibility displays, the County Highways Authority are advised that displays of 2.4 by 43 metres would accord with the Leicestershire Highways design guide. Whilst this is the case, the agent for the application has subsequently submitted a plan which demonstrates that to the north, visibility displays of 2.4 by 61 and to the south, 2.4 by 103 metres could be provided. And given the extra visibility provided by this plan, this would be conditioned on any permission granted rather than the suggested condition of the County Highways Authority. On the basis that the application is to be assessed against current planning policy and taking into account the circumstances of paragraph 109 of the NPPF, it is considered there's not an unacceptable impact on highway safety or severe detriment to the highway network that would justify refusal of the application on highway safety grounds. Turning to drainage and flood risk, there are effectively two separate issues. One, in relation to the outfall of foul sewage or runoff from the sewage, the Severn Trent water network on Station Road with the events that occurred in October of last year. The District Council, following the deferment of the application, have had discussions with Severn Trent Water about the circumstances to those events, and their investigations have obviously established that the runoff of surface water from developments on Grange Road was entering the foul drainage network, subsequently resulting in overflows onto Station Road. Their investigations have established that, and they have obviously undertaken appropriate actions with the developers on Grange Road to obviously ensure that such incidents should not happen again. Obviously, we will not be made aware of any circumstances or incidents happening since those even though there has been significant rainfall events since that time. The second matter relates to surface water runoff and the subsequent flooding of public footpath N73, which was around the end of July into the summertime last year, and obviously the photographs which are on the screen demonstrate the flooding which has happened there. We have had discussions again with the local flood authority to establish their position on the basis of the application, and they are satisfied that subject to the imposition of relevant conditions, surface water runoff would be managed in an appropriate manner and therefore prevent such an incident occurring. It is clear to them that perhaps the current maintenance of ditches and drainage around the fields where the water is running off is not adequate enough to prevent such incidents occurring in the future, but ultimately that would be a matter for the lead local flood authority to address with relevant landowners going forward. So on the basis that there is no technical objections to the application, the recommendation remains that the application is approved. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. As people will have seen from the plan, the agent is Mr. Large, and I just wanted to emphasise that he's relative to a serving member. I was requested to make that known. Could we please have the objector, Mr. Miller, come forward to make their representation?
Thank you, councillors.
You have 3 minutes.
3 minutes. Michael Miller, local resident, consultant archaeologist and coordinator. And coordination of the neighbourhood plan environment survey for which the consultation is underway. I'd like to start with a quotation from the Places We Want to Live section of last month's Conservative Party manifesto. It said, crucially, we need to make sure homes are built in a way that makes sense for the people already living in the area. It says we will increase biodiversity and make our beautiful countryside more accessible for local community use in order to safeguard our green spaces, and we will continue to prioritise brownfield development. Now, we say locally that this proposed development, along with Link 1's and adjacent properties, do not make sense to the local community. And that's shown by the neighbourhood plan survey, which says that this area ought to be protected. And has been said to for that particularly since the Leicestershire County Council Ecology Survey in 1993, which identified the proposed development area as, and I quote, being a site of significance at both district and parish levels. Now, too much of the local biodiversity has already been lost due to the Grange Road developments. And this development does not safeguard our local green spaces as proposed by the government. You will be aware, I think, from previous plans that the site is also important archaeologically. There are two HER rated listed sites. There's the old Huddlestone Manor, which impinges on the development area, and the HER listed post medieval ponds, which are part of the drainage system run into medieval fish ponds. Now, too much of the parish's archaeology and heritage has been lost to the local community due to the Grange Road development, and that includes evidence of Bronze to Iron Age and medieval occupation, which has been found both by ULEZ and Oxford Archaeology. It has been mentioned by the officer about the 1992 dismissal by a planning inspector of planning permission for two additional houses. We're now talking about 30 plus the additional stuff in 115 to 117. And if those two are joined together, we're going to have additional traffic, probably of at least 60 cars. Now, the road hasn't changed. I don't think the proposals for the increased play will result in increased road safety. And if you look at all of that, I think, you know, there were concerns then, nothing's changed, there are concerns now. So the key reasons on road safety for the planning inspector's dismissal of that original plan also apply, and that's it.
Thank you. If the committee wish to answer any questions, are you willing to answer?
Absolutely.
Right. Do any members of the committee have any questions for Mr. Miller on planning grounds? Councillor Rakiki.
On planning grounds, I'm not sure, Chair, but I'm wondering, has it always flooded in your lifetime? Or is it just since the Grange Road development?
There has been problems with the drainage on the proposed site. The flooding of the sewers was resolved largely by putting in the River Sense was largely by the big pipes being put in a few years ago under the bridge. It hasn't flooded until now with the Grange Road development. That was the real problem. The fields themselves are part of the drainage system. You've got drainage coming down from the medieval ridge and furrow up on the wreck. You can see to the north on that diagram. And the ditches come right way down to the bottom, right at the south where it goes into the River Sense.
was the site of an old Ford. The drainage comes down there. My property is adjacent to that. You can stand at the bottom of my garden and see water pouring down those ditches on a regular basis. I can't actually say I find it sensible to buy a house in a rather soggy area of land.
So I just wanted to know if it's been flooded for the past 20, 30 years. It's not sort of progressed since then.
No, there were floods of clarification. There were floods around the bridge by the cemetery gates, probably around about 25 years ago, I think, when Servant Train put in the big culverts under the bridge, and that resolved that. But since Grange Road development, we've had this problem.
Thank you.
Councillor Greaves?
Thank you for the information and the update on that. What I'm trying to gather for my decisions is that, first of all, the rules have changed since these early decisions. The planning rules have changed since those early decisions were made, and officers now have to weigh the situation up in a completely different way. Part of my question is to say, are you aware of that?
Oh, yes.
Right. Now, the second point is that you say there's archaeology on that site, which the county archaeologist is more or less, she's more or less turned around and said, well, we'll find out when we start digging on the site. I'm asking you, is there any proper identifiable archaeology on that site that would affect this planning application?
As far as I know, there's been no money to do a survey of the site. What should be done first is a geophysical survey of the site to see if there is anything under there. Just over the where the fence will be in one of the properties in Station Road, there are the remains of the listed remains of the remnants of Purplestoke Manor. And we know that some of the walling around there is the bricks are very similar, for example, to those from Aberpenny's Wall in Leicester. So the date of that probably goes back. I mean, my own house down there dates back to 1670. So we've got similar kinds of bricks in there. So we need a survey to do that. And currently, as you all know, funding to do those kinds of things is not readily available. I mean, one would hope that if the council, from our point of view, unfortunately, would agree to the planning proposals, that something will be written in to ensure a proper archaeological survey of those grounds. Bearing in mind there is the Bridge and Fire and all the rest of that.
Thank you. Councillor Geary.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. In your experience, are you aware of any flooding that has taken place downstream of this site?
Downstream? Well, we know that water levels have been very high down towards the corner pin and so on. Again, there have been issues of flooding down there, but at the same time as the culverts were put under the bridge, there was additional work done by Severn Trent down towards there. Now, what would happen if additional larger sewers were put in, and where those go and how much they would take, what routes they take and so on, is a moot point. We don't know. But I mean, what we would say is to actually prevent any additional possibility of flooding, a possibility for the infrastructure. But in fact, what the neighbourhood plan kind of says, there really shouldn't be any development down there until there is proper infrastructure to support it, but not say putting infrastructure and so on. We know that some of the sewers that were narrowed, for example, because they're old Victorian sewers. And a few years ago, Southern Trent put a lining in them. Now, they were saying 30 years ago, it wasn't good enough for the then proposed Grange Road development. bearing in mind that they had to narrow them to stop them from collapsing totally by lining them, has meant that it's even less likely to take all the stuff, hence the flooding.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Thank you. Anyone else? Councillor Harrison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Miller, can you tell me whether you're aware historically this land acted as a floodplain?
I think that's outside Mr. Miller's
reading. Yes, it is reading. But bearing in mind that along that north bank of the River Sands, we do have another HER site, which is a medieval fish pond. And that and the remnants of others that we think existed just to the north of that bend that you can see in the picture, past the, to the west of the bridge where the property joins up. You've got some wetland areas there, and the house on the east has got a sunken lawn, which we think may very well have been a medieval fish pond. Now, that would have been one way of actually resolving flooding in medieval times. You've got water coming down, so you make use of that. And we know there was a mill on the other side of the road, hence millfields.
Well, thank you, Jan. There are ditches to the north and to the west of this particular field. One, I think, as well to the south. And there's also a brook that seems to run straight down the middle. But are you aware of any of those ditches north and to the west being maintained by anybody? Because they're not part of this particular site, are they?
No. There's plenty of water. I think one's to the west. Are part of the Country Parks Estate and the National Forest, so that should be maintained by the County Council and so on. The ones that run across the land, I think they have been dug out occasionally. I can't remember when they were last sort of dug out, but there is plenty of water running down there. I think if you see on that diagram, right on the eastern side in the green patch, I think is that part of the ditch, that looks like part of the ditch that runs down from the listed HER site ponds, which are in the green patch to the north of that. That is constantly full of water, and it runs all the way down, and it runs down where that brown hedge is, and the site where it really narrows down the bottom was the old ford, and the water coming down rushes down there. And as I said, you can stand on something, you can stand in the bottom of our garden, which is the bit of the is adjacent to that, and actually see the water rushing out almost constantly. I've got plenty of photographs of that and video of it, so you know.
Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Thank you very much, Mr. Miller.
Okay, fine, thank you.
Please put the applicant agent, Mr. Large, come forward to make their representation. I understand that you are sharing the presentation with your flood engineers, is that correct?
That's correct.
Do you?
Do you want to go there?
Yeah, if you both sit there, it might be easier than... Okay. That's all right.
Chair, my understanding is that they've got a minute and a half in.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, thank you for allowing both myself and the applicant's highways and drainage engineer, Tim, here to speak. Speaking from a planning perspective, we've sought to positively engage with local residents, care of the parish council from the outset. And in this regard, I'm pleased to see that the officer report references the inclusion of bungalows, a footpath link to the north, boundary treatments, and the area to the south not being included in the development proposal for built form, but retained as a public open space for local residents to enjoy. All those elements could come forward as part of a reserve matters application. By way of background, the applicants have agreed a sale of this site, subject to planning with Kaplan Homes, who would look to bring forward an affordable let scheme at the site. This would see an anticipated 50% of the new dwellings as affordable, and hopefully more. Capital Homes have a proven track record within the district, an example being in Ravenstone, where they delivered 14 shared ownership dwellings. In summary, the site is within limits of development. It's in a sustainable settlement which forms part of the wider Colville urban area. There's no objections from statutory consultees, and with a recommendation from officers, we would respectfully ask members to permit the scheme. Thank you.
Thank you.
Apart from the existing dwelling on site, currently the site is undeveloped and comprises a number of fields of associated drainage ditches along the boundaries. Surface water runoff from the existing site is therefore unrestricted, and due to the topography, overland flows convey surface water towards the River Scent, but also down to Station Road at an uncontrolled and unrestricted rate, as observed in the October flood event. The proposed drainage strategy for the site provides opportunity to provide betterment over the current arrangement through the provision of a positive drainage system on site, which would convey surface water flows to a controlled, limited discharge into the River Scent by a large attenuation pond in the southern part of the site. The strategy has been reviewed by Leicester County Councillors, Lead Local Flood Authority, who have raised no objections, subject to appropriate conditions, including conditions relating to surface water runoff during the construction phase as well. In terms of foul provision, which we've heard earlier tonight, it's understood larger diameter pipes have been installed as part of the Grange Road trunk sewer to accommodate future growth in the area. Also, improvements have been undertaken by Severn Trent to mitigate against the flooding events that occurred in October. The existing Severn Trent system, therefore, with the improvements that have been made, has sufficient capacity to accommodate foul flows from this development and other developments in the area. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions on planning for either of the gentlemen? Councillor Harrison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's to do with the surface water. It's one of the greatest problems on lots of sites we're finding now, and Severn Trent's ability to be able to cope when the surface water gets into their sewers, and so we have the manholes popping, etc. And you say that you're happy with it, but you've got a 24-inch pipe going into a 9-inch pipe. I mean, I'm not an engineer, but I look at this and think you've got great volume, and Severn Trent have obviously got the power of sucking this through, supposedly pumping this through. And then it goes to a larger level. It goes from 24 to 9, then 12, then 15. And obviously this is going to create some sort of, you know, if you've got a 24-inch suddenly dropping down to that small level, there's some huge impact. And don't forget, this is being pressured and pumped to get rid of. Is this not going to cause more problems? Because I'm finding with Severn Trent that we're having lots of issues now with surface water, and this is my concern, Chairman. How are you going to deal effectively with this surface water? Because it's going to be absolutely critical. It gets into the foul, and you're going to have tops popping, and we're going to have foul sewers all over the place. And obviously, with all the concrete and the roads and everything, you know, the soak-up potential is now gone. You know, it's going to really need something. So the question is, continually, are you 100% competent that that site's going to be able to deal with the surface water? Because that's what we collectively, I presume, would like to know. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Would you like to answer that?
In relation to our surface water flows, our surface water outfall is into the River Scent. So we won't be entering into the Severn Trent sewerage system with our surface water flows. The only flow from our side that we enter into the Severn Trent system would be the foul drainage only. So our surface water system is separate to the existing system in Station Road, and as referred to earlier from the Grange Road development. Our on-site system will take surface water from the roads and from the private areas into an on-site sewerage system, outfalling to the attenuation basin in the southern sort of narrow part of the site, which then discharges into the River Scent at a controlled rate, which is in accordance with the those requirements for a greenfield site.
Councillor Keating.
Yes, Chair.
It's only the flooding that really does concern me, and when we consider that, okay, this is only 30 houses, there's going to be a further 4,000 houses with runoff and taps running, etc., etc., etc. I'm not an engineer either, but I can appreciate that if everybody goes to the toilet at the same time, or we have tremendous floods, tremendous amount of rainfall, even a 24-inch pipe with 4,000 homes is not going to be big enough. I think we need a system like London's got that you can walk down, basically. So that's the bother that I've got, and I'm not 100% at ease with the fact that Severn Trent say, yes, we can cope with this. Their track record isn't that good, I'm afraid. So could you sort of make me feel a lot more comfortable about 4,000 homes that are going to be built further upstream, all discharging into the River Thames?
I can't comment on the 4,000 dwellings. I've not been involved in that, so I'm not aware of what their drainage proposals are. In terms of the Severn Trent position, the sewerage in this area is only maintained by Severn Trent. Unfortunately, we don't have access to model their system or anything like that, so the information we get from them as part of a pre-developer inquiry, which we submit to Severn Trent, which is a chargeable service, they assess their sewer network and confirm whether there's capacity in the system for our development or not. If there are concerns raised, which there were in this particular case, there were investigation works, and again in this case they made remedial works and mitigation measures to overcome any operational difficulties or issues that they've had, which they have on Grange Road. Unfortunately, from our perspective, we have to take the information from Severn Trent as the appropriate correct measures that have been taking place. As it's their system, we don't have any rights or powers to do anything to their network.
Thank you, if I may, Chair.
I'm just going to say, Councillor,
very, very quickly,
that really future development further up the side is not part of this application, and it's not really.
I appreciate that, but the River Saints has difficulty coping with the flow of water now. One particular dwelling in Heather floods every year without fail through the winter. And that's without any further development. So I am a bit concerned that the River Sense just cannot take this extra flow of water.
Right, so let's say that through the last bit of statement. Does anyone else wish to ask a question?
Thank you. Question is in relation to surface water and flood zones. We hear that part of the site is in flood zone 1, which is the lowest risk of flooding, and other parts of the site are in zones 2 and 3. These are adjacent to the River Thames. I don't know how these flood zones have been calculated in the past. I would imagine it's on rainfall and the potential for flooding on the ground. However, on Friday of last week, I listened to a very interesting programme on the radio regarding weather patterns. And the experts were in no doubt that weather patterns are seriously changing. They have promised us longer hot spells during the summer, but more very wet spells during the winter in relation to the flooding that we've had over the past few years. How do you then perceive the calculations for these flood zones will have to change as the weather gets more inclement?
Part of the site is within flood zone 2 and 3. Flood zone 2 is the 1,000 year storm event extent, and the flood zone 3 is the 100 year event. They are contained to the smaller, narrow part of the site at the bottom, adjacent to River Sense. The whole of the developable area is within flood zone 1, which is the acceptable location for development. In terms of the flood zones themselves, they are the water courses, rivers, etc., are hydraulically modelled by industry experts. They look at the channel capacity, the size, the velocity of the water flow, and using quite technical industry standard software, they determine what the out-of-bank flooding is in various different storm events. As part of our drainage strategy, in accordance with local and national guidance, we have to make an allowance for 40% climate change. So we have a 40% buffer, if you like, in terms of, like you say, inclement weather becoming more and more common. In some parts of the country, it's sort of 70-80%. I have a site in Tewkesbury where they're up to 70% climate change. Currently in Leicestershire, we're 40%. That may change moving forward. But in terms of our design, we have the 100-year event plus a 40% climate change. So the site drainage is has got an allowance for climate change within its calculations.
I understand, Councillor Geary, that this is actually part of the model used by Severn Trent, etc., for the decisions on flooding, etc. But I'll ask the officer to expand on that later on.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to know specific details of your SUD's proposals for this site, which is not clear in the report.
In terms of SUDs, we have the attenuation basin, which is as enlarged on the screen. So that's a large attenuation pond at the southern part of the site, which will store surface water flows, and downstream of that will be a hydro break, which will discharge at a restricted rate into the River Sent, which again is a sort of an industry standard piece of kit to restrict runoff from development sites. In terms of the on-site drainage, there's the existing ditch that crosses through the site. As that was within the site ownership, that will be improved, and as part of any future development on the site, there will be a requirement for that to be maintained and managed. A lot of schemes, particularly Andrew mentioned earlier, Kaplan, are looking to take this site forward. When somebody like that takes on schemes like this, it's either managed via a management company or as part of a sort of an affordable housing group as part of their site maintenance. So moving forward, the on-site drainage in terms of the existing ditch will have a maintenance and a management strategy. Private drainage from the plots there'll be permeable paving provided on private driveways, which will again provide some restriction on the initial surface water discharge. It also provides betterment in terms of surface water quality by removing some of the suspended solids with the surface water. But ultimately that will discharge into proposed sewers within the on-site roads, which then discharge into the pond and then into the River Sent to reduce rate.
Question on maintenance of subs. Who will be responsible in perpetuity for the maintenance of those subs?
In all likelihood, it would be, in my experience, on most sites now, it's a management company that's created or instructed by the developer of the site, and it's funded by sort of ground rent, if you like, or maintenance, annual maintenance charge for residents of the site. And as part of their management and maintenance, they're reliable for a lot of the green open spaces and all the drainage features. The Syria design guide has various requirements for maintenance of different types of SUDs. So depending on the nature of the SUDs, there is a maintenance schedule in the Syria 753 guidance, which states how regular features need to be maintained and managed. So as part of any future scheme on the site, there'll be a maintenance schedule which will be prepared in accordance with the Syria design guide.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My question is for Mr. Large, and it's nothing to do with flooding. Standing in Station Road, looking at the entrance to this particular site, there is a very large tree on the left-hand side. Would that be removed or would that stay?
My understanding is that would remain.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Large and Mr. Rose.
Thank you.
Please, could the ward member, Councillor Johnson, whose ward is affected by this application, come forward to make representations on behalf of the ward? You have 5 minutes, Councillor Johnson.
Chair. I start coughing, you'll excuse me for a niggly cough. I'm here speaking on behalf of concerned residents on Station Road and the Parish Council. This committee has to be responsible in their deliberations on this application on community safety, examining the flooding issues and highway safety. As I have lobbied all you councillors that sit on this plan committee with the relevant evidence. In June last year, this council resolved to declare a climate emergency. The LFA is a consultee. Conditions are set to seek to ensure risk of flooding through adequate design for up to 1 in 100 year storm events with an allowance for climate change. Well, councillors, this site has had many heavy inclement rainfalls since July, summer months. Where this proposed site will be, you have to ask, is this acceptable? As the runoff of surface water literally runs onto a public footpath that impedes access for the public and children getting to school. You have to consider, with the erection of 30 dwellings, there will be no salt risk, no matter how much engineering is put in place. This land floods. In time, the water soaks away, yet putting 30 dwellings in concrete over a wide space of ground will not alleviate flood water as neighbours' properties adjoining will be affected. 30 extra dwellings sewerage will be going into an already established overburden system where Station Road has had raw sewage coming through, popping the covers off and spreading across the road to the entrance of the site and a public footpath. This always happens. Not very nice for residents with the smell of excrement, and it does. As a proactive councillor, I get called by many residents for help in getting this rectified. I do get the relevant agencies to come and alleviate this. This all takes time. The gullies in the road get fouled up with sewage, baby weights, and rust and fat. It got to the stage where I had to reluctantly turn to the media, i.e. the BBC, to highlight the problem, as agencies like Severn Trent were not listening. They'd done that on the 1st of October. In your agendas at the bottom of page 19, you will see that this greenfield land is not in an adopted local plan and not the most sequentially preferred land to provide new development. Parish Council is in its final stages of the neighbourhood plan, and we wish as a community to have identified and want to keep this as open space. With all other development happening in our village, this application is inappropriate. When will we have any open space left? In your agendas, you will see planning refusals and dismissals on the site. In October, I asked a representative from County Highways what was the reason as late as 1999. She didn't know. Whereupon I informed her it was on highway safety. One has to ask why County Highways think it's acceptable now that they cannot see a problem. This road is dangerous. As Parish Council volunteers do a community speed watch, plus the proposed access, where uncaring drivers had exceeded the 30 mile an hour speed limit and doing excess of 45 miles an hour, plus all the international language that goes with it. In your view, is this acceptable? The update sheet states that all the planning refusals, yet the County Highways had no information regarding this when asked in the October briefing, as members will recollect. Isn't it amazing you get all this information now? Should have been in the agenda before it was published. This afternoon I walked by this land and it's a bog. We've had slight rain today. Thank you, Chairman, for giving me the time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Councillor Johnson. Do any members of the committee have any questions to Councillor Johnson? Councillor Harrison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm interested in your local plan because I don't quite understand, because according to our document, I get the feeling that it's so far away that this cannot be considered as part of it, and we're quite free to be able to make decisions regardless of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Harrison. Our neighbourhood plan is ready to go. We had a consultation a few weeks ago. Members of the public come along and they put their rubber stamp on it. Everybody is happy with it, so it's ready to go.
Thank you. Anyone else? Councillor Drilling.
When you walk the site today, bearing in mind that the rainfall that we've had recently, was there any sign of running water today?
No.
Not today.
Thank you. Anyone else? Oh, Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. Switch your mic. Thank you. The neighbourhood plan, this has not yet been adopted. How far away is it? And if it was adopted, would this preclude this area from being developed?
Hypothetically, that is. The neighbourhood plan is ready to go, as I've said. We've had 2.5 years working on it. We've had professionals in to guide us. Had the neighbourhood plan been in place, we wouldn't be sitting here today talking about this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? No? Thank you, Councillor Johnson.
Thank you, Chair.
Do the officers have any comments on the representation made? Comments will be made after the debate by those officers. I now open up the debate up to the committee. Does anyone wish to speak?
I will keep this debate off, Chair, although it wasn't my intention to do so. But I think, first of all, I want to say that the officers have written this report in the way that the government now expects them to write reports under the 2013 MDPF, which is going to be revised. And that's why we've got a situation where we have decisions that were made back in the 90s and the turn of the century were reversed in 13 with the new planning documents. The flooding down there of the recently, the bad flooding which I saw, was caused by surface water getting into the foul sewage system and not being able to take it. One declaration of interest that I probably should have made, but I'll say it now for the sake of it, is that my son lives quite close to this site, further uphill on Forest Road, near to a junction in the sewage system, the foul sewage system. And on the day concerned, the lad was sitting on the toilet, and all of a sudden there was an eruption when water started coming through the upstairs toilet through the back pressure due to the surface water getting into the system. And obviously brought up the channel covers all the way down Forest Road. I think, Chair, is that I'm deeply disappointed with this application, bearing in mind the site's historical interest in possibilities down there with archaeology, and there's certainly the drainage is not known. But I think at the bottom line, Chair, as far as I'm concerned, deeply, it's something that many people are debating about, is that nowadays we have a situation where frontage owners are responsible for maintaining watercourses, or indeed the landowner, if the landowner owns both sides of the watercourses. Historically, is that maintenance agreements on land have been made, or certainly since the Industrial Revolution started. And most of these maintenance agreements now in 2020 no longer exist, although then the state has to come in and take over
and take over responsibility. In this case, in modern terminology, we use the term sud to take on here. The report says on page 24, is it, talks about maintenance agreements. Yes, on page 26, Chair, is that the talks about the maintenance agreements. When we asked at our briefing last week for a copy of that maintenance plan, Officer rightly said, as this is only an application to talk about the access and the rest of it is reserved matters, is that there is no maintenance plan in place. As a decision maker, Chair, I can't sit here and agree to an application where I don't know what's going to happen to the site in perpetuity. Is that the responsibility of cleaning out a small section of the River Sense fronting this landowner's property is minimal compared to the volume of water that's coming off the site further uphill. And bearing in mind that there may even be springs on that site that we don't know about at the moment. I'm deeply concerned, Chair, that we're running this application in two. Well, first of all, we're talking about firm and proper planning approval for access, and the rest of it is outlined to be dealt with under reserved matters. Under reserved matters, we don't have any rightful authority to come back and discuss the reserved matter situation. That's dealt with by officers under delegating powers under the council's constitution. And I'm deeply concerned about that as well, Chair. Victorian graveyards were built by the school in Victorian times by private developers who then entered maintenance agreements with maintenance companies. And the maintenance company, after the developer went bust or the graveyard went bust, the maintenance company no longer maintained it. We live in a heavily populated urban area in Huddlescote and the whole of Coalville. And this council has approved a local plan that is going to develop 4,000 or 5,000 extra homes in Huddlescote, where a lot of the foul sewage and indeed the land drainage is going to go into the River Sense. As a decision maker, I have no confidence in the figures that have been produced, which only reflects, Chair, this application. It doesn't reflect a greater, wider area of this going into it. Therefore, Chair, I'm standing declaring now I can't vote for this application.
Thank you, Councillor Green. Does anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Harrison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My concern really is the people I'd have wished to see this evening and ask questions is Severn Trent. Severn Trent, I've never known them object to any planning application, and I suppose somebody would sit back cynically and say, well, of course not, more houses, they're getting more bills, the issue. It's as simple as that. But I've had first hand experience at Appleby, my involvement with another authority, with people who've had their homes flooded up to the waist in foul sewage, Severn Trent. The Measham pump is understood to be wholly inadequate. They've never said to anybody, well, hang on, champs, go steady on that. And that's a fact. Then I think of Normanton Lee Heath and the Hollows. They've got a nice little station there, 2,000 litres per minute, and sewage up to your waist. I mean, what is actually happening? Because I believe when I look at this and I was able to pick up on the 24-inch, 9-inch, and the different varying sizes, people are telling me the manholes, they're up in the air. They just fly up. Now, I watched somebody a couple of days ago bending down and lifting these damn things up. And they're not live, they take a lot of weight, strength pulling these things up, and then they're flying up in the air, so you can imagine the pressure they're under. And I just feel concerned because it's not disrespectful to the engineer who spoke this evening, and I'm pretty certain with his retention pond and other elements, but Severn Trent are not putting in new pipe work that's adequate, and we keep building homes. If we're building 5,000 a year, you know, you'd think they'd have an enormous contractual business running. They're not. It's all going into these old sewers, and people are saying their homes are being destroyed. One man spent 85,000 last year trying to repair his home in Appleby Magnet after inundation like this. Then he spent 20,000 on a wall at the end to make sure it never came again. And then that man all popped at the front of the house and went straight in through the front. I mean, it's ironic, and we could smile and say, well, that's like, but I'm concerned because we know we have a problem there. We do have a problem. And I just wonder whether we ought to try and get better information, whether we could get Severn Trent to actually sit down and face us and tell us exactly what the situation is. We've asked an engineer to give undertakings, and I probably mentioned it as well, because I'm concerned, and we're all concerned. But I mean, really, he's limited to what he can do, and he'll do what he's best on that side, but the real key is Severn Trent. So from my point of view, I wouldn't want to see the damn thing, because, you know, if it's going to fit in the locality, fine. But I would prefer to refer this back and seek Severn Trent to arrive and sit down and talk to us to give us the confidence, because otherwise I get the feel it could be just a refusal. And I'm just concerned that, you know, I would like proper information, and if Severn Trent can deliver this information and give us the confidence that we're not going to say yes tonight, and within 12 months we've got people inundated with sewerage. I don't know the legality, Chairman. I'm trying to be helpful, but I've also got to be realistic. I'm charged with the responsibility, and I'm just learning more and more about the problems with Severn Trent and people who are being inundated, and it's serious. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ahead of planning.
Thank you, Chairman. I understand there being problems elsewhere in the district. I was at the same meeting with you in Appleby Magnet and listening to those horrible stories. In terms of this application, following the deferral, officers went to meet with Severn Trent Water to try and understand what had happened in the event, particularly in October, and what had caused the flooding incidents on Station Road, the cemetery, and the footpath. They have been doing various investigations, and as has been mentioned tonight, the foul sewer has got the capacity to take a foul sewer, but there was unwanted surface water getting into the site from fields surrounding the site and from development sites. They've been doing various investigations in and around Grange Road and trying to resolve some of those matters. The issue around the difference in sizes of pipes isn't the cause of the flooding. The oversized pipes have been put in to take some of the future development on Grange Road. They've got adequate capacity to take this, and in time the rest of the sewage system will be updated to take further development as and when that comes online. But as must emphasise, the reason for the flooding wasn't because Severn Trent Water's sewage system hasn't got the capacity to take the foul from Grange Road. In addition, as has already been mentioned, the foul from this site won't be going into the system, going into the river centre at controlled rate. So this development won't be having any adverse impact in terms of surface water, which is our understanding from discussions with not only Severn Trent Water but the lead local flood authority. So I think it's fair to say we've been back to Severn Trent Water, and again following the briefing last week, a number of further questions were raised, which we've gone back again to Severn Trent Water. So I think we've done a lot more than we probably normally would in terms of challenging the responses that we've had from Severn Trent Water, particularly in relation to this application, and they're telling us that their sewage system's got the capacity to take the foul. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chair. I'll just follow up. their assurances, Chairman, where is the pumping? Is this to Misha pumping station?
Callum Bridge.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. I found this to be a most interesting report. The email I received from Mr. Miller was very factual, and that was good as well. I have spent quite a bit of time over the past 2 days looking at these and doing a bit of research. The update sheet tonight also begs questions. In 1991, we turned down an application on this site. It was upheld by the Secretary of State, who dismissed the appeal on visibility grounds, and did acknowledge that a total number of less than 5 dwellings may be acceptable. We're looking at 30, not 5. Now, I know County Highways now say that it's quite acceptable. The problem is, Chairman, we are the decision makers here, and I think we should have the opportunity to put questions to these officers with the local knowledge we've got and scrutinise their decision making. Unfortunately, we're not having that opportunity. Regarding the flooding, the surface water, we've heard tonight that it's a 1 in 100 years possibility. However, Chairman, I can only draw from my own experience. In my first year of married life, 1968, we lived at a farm in Barwell, and it flooded. Luckily, it was only surface water, there was no foul sewage, but we had flood damage. We were assured by the experts that that was a 1 in 100 year experience. Surprise, surprise, 1 month on, it flooded again. So I'm always very doubtful about this one in a certain period of time. I'm drawing from my own experience here. When it comes to the actual foul sewage, it's clearly laid out that we have a 24-inch pipe reducing down to a 9-inch pipe before it then goes out again to 15 inches. Sam Trent told our officers that that was it still had sufficient capacity. Well, in those famous words of Manly Rice Davis in court in the early 50s, they would say that, wouldn't they? You know, how much do you trust Sam Trent? And once again, we, the decision makers, haven't got the opportunity with, once again, the local knowledge we've got to scrutinise their figures and how they actually arose at them. That is my concern, Chair, that we're not hearing the information firsthand. With all due respect to our officers that attend these meetings, they haven't got the local knowledge that we have. To sum it up, Sam Trent admits that further improvements will enable the full capacity of this asset to be realised. Well, I would suggest that there should be no more development on this sewage system until these further improvements have been undertaken and there is the capacity there. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor O'Keefe.
Chair, yes. When I make a decision here on committee, it's heartfelt. I'm very conscious of the decision I'm making and how lives will be affected by this committee, whatever we decide to do. And I'm very uncomfortable with this. We've seen the amount of flooding all over the country this past 2 or 3 years. And it doesn't seem to abate in any way. It seems as if it may get even worse. And I would not like a member of Huddlescote to come to me and say, come and look at my house now. Since this application was passed, I've got raw sewage coming through my house and you're part of the problem because you voted for it. Now, can anyone in that situation
hold the district council responsible for the decision that we make, knowing that there's a problem there. Good chair.
Committee's received responses from Severn Trent Water and statutory consultees on their position regarding flooding and surface water runoff and the systems for foul drainage. So we would be better all a decision based on that would not result in the district council being held reliable or responsible if there was future flooding or issues following foul drainage.
So that means we can make any decision we want and we're not held responsible in any way, shape or form?
Yes.
Well, that seems pretty wrong to me.
Thank you. Councillor Rukiki has said a lot of the things that I was thinking on the way in, whilst driving in. And my head is kind of still in these two places. I've got, if you like, the heart of all that you've just said. I am responsible, I'm going to be making this decision along with the other councillors here on something that we've seen, the flooding. We know that it's been refused many times before. The heart says it's a crazy thing, but then I also have to put the planning head on, and I have read through the report thoroughly, I've looked at everything else. We are told the really, really bad flooding that happened here was caused by the building elsewhere. We've all got stories of flooding that has happened. My particular one is my 80-plus-year-old father-in-law, where they built up higher, had the water running through, and it would have been through his house had he had a door. That, we've all got these stories. That was because they built elsewhere. We have been told, and I would like officers to assure, that it's the management during the building that has changed since then, and that when construction is happening on Grange Road and everywhere else, there is now a management system in place that stops that. That is something that I have picked up from the briefing, that I could be confident that the development wouldn't be causing that problem. I have listened to everybody telling me that where a development has happened, that the flooding is limited, the drainage should be better. I have to take that on trust. I am not Severn Trent, and you all keep coming and telling me that Severn Trent is okay. I'm with Verge saying, Is it my responsibility? You're saying if I go, yes, it's okay. No, it's not my responsibility, but I'm actually with you as well, going, it should be my responsibility. There's still officers, I would like some confirmation. So one would be on that this management of things has changed since the flooding that happened in the summer for this and kind of across the board. Is there a new policy in place that now prevents that happening? Is this a substantial change that's going to help me make my decision? The other one I'm very concerned about is the local plan that they've got in development. If this were to come before committee in another month, 6 months, let's say no more than 6 months, would the weight of this being now identified, I noted it was an area of sensitivity in the old plan which sort of went, if that was back there, if that was there again, if they'd identified it as an area to protect, would that have swayed the decision that the officers made in coming to their decision? Those are my questions that hopefully will help me make up my mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly. Do you wish to respond now or when you...
Yeah, just coming back on a couple of Councillor Kelly's comments that were raised there. The issues at Grange Road, and of course some problems down Station Road, where at that time the LLFA weren't in existence, and the conditions for having surface water drainage schemes during construction weren't attached to those historical planning permissions. Since the LLFA have been in existence, and due to some issues on other sites, such as Mission Road Moira, for example, we're now in a position where the LLFA will recommend conditions for surface water drainage schemes for the final development, but also for during construction. So if planning permission were to be granted tonight, that surface water drainage scheme would need to show what the intentions are whilst the dwellings were being constructed, and that's included on the update sheet. The second point regarding the site's sensitivity, was previously a sensitive area under the old local plan. At the moment, from the adopted local plan, isn't an area, a sensitive area. It's within the limits to development. Huggleston and Donington Heath are working on their draft local plan, and we're given that the stage that that's got to, we can't attach significant weight to that as set out in the report. Where we'll be in 6 months' time, we have to see what the status of that, where that neighbourhood plan's got to.
Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. There's a lot of talk about the sewage system not being able to take what's going on. I am amazed at the way we develop in this country, that we'll put houses up galore without worrying about any of the services that are needed. Schools, for instance, doctors, roads, sewers, whatever. And that does concern me, and particularly in this case. Another factor is that Donington Heath Manor is not very far from this particular site, which is a site of antiquity, and I'm sure the spread of that antiquity isn't restricted to the current fence around Donington the Manor, Donington the Heath Manor. Would we be discussing this if the parish neighbourhood plan had been adopted? Probably not, but that, as you just said, we can't really take that into account because it's not there as yet. Another factor is traffic. It was considered to be a bit of a problem back in the 90s, and it isn't today. Yet back in the 90s, we had 82,000 people living in Northwest Leicestershire. Today there are 105,000. Huddlescote is a rat run from the A42, M42 into Leicester. There's a heck of a lot more traffic going through this town now, or through this village now, than ever before. I do see traffic as being a problem on this particular site, or for this particular site, let's put it that way. Last week, we sat around and we asked an awful lot of questions relative to this, and those questions have been answered by this update. It's a pity that this update wasn't given to us last week. The questions that we asked are answered in here, which means that the answers were already available last week, and I feel that they should have been in there. I find it very difficult to decide which way to go here. I've walked around the site, I don't like it as it is. I don't think I'd like it built on as well. I don't know how I'm going to go on this one at this stage. I really don't. There's a lot of questions that are still need to be answered, and I think Severn Trent is the culpable agency here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am concerned about Severn Trent, and I know the head of planning is a good man, and I trust and totally respect him. But I think we as a body should have the ability to scrutinise a major company that is governed by a charter and has a duty of care to the subscribers. I feel that we should be able to, when it is a serious situation like this, as we've had witnesses this evening come and present the case, why should we not be able to ask Severn Trent, can they give us undertakings? Is this right? Are you sure of your pal? They tell me all the time that the motors and the engine, everything's fine. They are working fine, but they're not big enough, because they just couldn't have visualised when they were putting this stuff in, what we were going to be building, how it's going to work. And I just think, why are we not allowed to ask the questions of people who know it, as go through an intermediary, and that's not meant to be disrespectful, Chairman, you know that. But I think, in fairness to us, we should be able to ask these questions. We're being asked to make a decision.
Yeah, Kat, I understand exactly where you're coming from, and I understand exactly what you're saying, but I think that's outside our remit. It's planning committee. But I'll ask the officers to comment on it. Right. Officers.
I think we've pretty much covered everything. We've got a lot of detail for this evening. Just in terms of your last point, as I said earlier, we've been back to Severn Trent on a couple of occasions, and I think we're now in a situation where we're going to make a decision on this application one way or another. There may be the opportunity to invite Severn Trent Water outside of planning committee to a members forum to give us a briefing on how they operate. We've done that with counting highways. Before, but that will be outside this meeting. So I think everything's in the report and the update sheet and the debate. You've heard officers' views in terms of the lack of objection from statutory consultees, but obviously with the debate we have this evening, I think it's now down to the decision.
Can I just make a few comments, please, and then we'll call for a motion. We've heard about the archaeology. There is a condition that if planning permission were to be granted, that would be addressed. We've heard about the speed limit, but as we all know, that's a police matter. We've heard about the visibility, but the visibility displays are now way, way more than are required. And the main area of discussion has been flooding, and I think the officers have explained to us in detail that the flooding was caused by water getting into the wrong system. But that's being altered now by the fact that the manholes have been raised higher than the area to prevent that happening in the future. However, that's a decision for the committee. So I'd like to call for a motion on the application.
Okay, what is your recommendation, Chair?
Does anyone second that? Seconded by Councillor Bridget. Right, as a recorded vote is required, a Democratic Service Officer will read out each name in turn. Please indicate whether you are for the motion, against the motion, or wish to abstain. So just to be absolutely clear, if you are for the motion, you are voting to grant planning permission. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Councillor Rikiki.
My conscience won't allow me to go with the officers, I'm afraid, against.
Councillor Bridgham.
Abstain.
Councillor Canny.
For.
Councillor Clark.
Against.
Councillor Everett.
Against.
Councillor Harrison.
Against.
Councillor Holt.
For.
Councillor Geary.
Against.
Councillor Legree.
Against.
Councillor Smith.
For.
Okay, Chair, so there was 3 for the motion, 6 against the motion, and 1 abstain. Therefore, the motion has lost. We therefore require a new recommendation to be moved and seconded, please.
Right, so does someone move a new motion?
Yeah. I'll move that if they refuse.
We need planning grounds for the refusal. We need a planning ground for the refusal.
Yeah. Certainly policy CC2, water flood risk, and policy CC3, water the drainage systems, sustainable drainage systems, I think. There are 2 areas where it falls. I'm also concerned about highway safety.
So you're moving refusal on those 3?
Yes.
Are you seconding, Councillor?
I'll second that, but I also want to add another issue to this refusal. I'm concerned about maintenance of suds on this site, and I think we have a right to put into this motion that we're opposing this on the grounds of insufficient information on maintenance of suds and surface water drainage in perpetuity on this site. Thank you, Chair.
I'd upset
you. Do you wish to make any comments on that, officers?
No. We'll move to the vote, and once again, to be absolutely clear, if you vote for the motion, you are voting to recuse Planning Commission on the grounds as given by Councillor Geary and Councillor Legree.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Councillor Rukiki.
For.
Councillor Bridgham.
Abstain.
Councillor Canny.
Against.
Councillor Clark.
For.
Councillor Everett.
For.
Councillor Harrison.
For.
Councillor Holt.
Against.
Councillor Geary.
For.
Councillor Legree.
For.
Councillor Smith.
Against.
Okay, so that was 6 for the motion, 3 against the motion, 1 abstain. Therefore, the motion has been permitted, has been passed to refuse.
Therefore, Planning Commission is refused. Thank you.
Chair, can I move from the adjournment?
I second that point.
Resurfacing of existing parking areas, land at Ridgeway Road, Ashby. Are any members of the committee required to remove themselves from the consideration of this application? And if so, will their substitute step forward? No, thank you. Please, could the relevant planning officer present their report?
Thank you, Chairman. This application has been submitted by North West Leicestershire District Council for the construction of additional car parking spaces and the resurfacing of an existing car parking area on land at Ridgeway Road in Ashby. The site is located within limits to development. The proposals are located around existing areas of car parking and would involve the creation of additional hard surfacing to provide extra parking spaces. These spaces would be available for anyone to use. The application includes 3 affected zones along Ridgeway Road, which are identified as A, B and G. The proposal seeks to increase parking in zones A from 13 spaces to 26, and also increases spaces in zone G from 9 to 39. It is also proposed to resurface an existing parking area in zone B. The overall development would result in a net increase of 43 parking spaces in total. A total of 5 letters of objection of representation have been received from 3 members of the public, 4 raising concerns and 1 in support of the proposal. Councillor Bigby has also raised some concerns with the application. The Town Council have no objections, but they have provided comments that they would like to see more trees retained within the site. Amended plans have been received during the course of the application to address some of the concerns raised by members and councillors and the Parish Council in relation to trees, surface water, drainage and highways. Originally it was proposed to remove a total of 8 trees from the application site, and as part of the amendments, 2 trees have now been retained along the road frontage. So the proposal now only seeks to remove 6 trees. The applicant has also agreed to provide replacement semi-mature trees in alternative locations within the estate, and this could be agreed by condition. The amendments also include a surface water drainage scheme to offset the additional surface water runoff from the hard surfacing. The development now includes underground attenuation tanks, which will store and slow down the runoff rate, and it also includes petrol interceptors, which would help to filter pollutants before the water is discharged back into the main drains. Members' attention is also drawn to the update sheet, which contains further information with regard to electric vehicular charging points
and proposed arrangements to minimise disruption during construction. It is therefore recommended that the application be approved subject to conditions. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Please, could the ward member councillor Peter Beams, whose ward is affected by this application, come forward to make their representations? I remind you that as a ward member you can speak for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. I should like to make it clear at the beginning that I'm a member of Ashley Town Council, but I am speaking in my capacity as ward member and not on behalf of the Town Council, nor on behalf of the applicant, which is the Associated District Council. As well as a ward member, I very much welcome this application. It will provide much needed additional parking to residents, both private and council tenants. This estate has suffered particular parking problems for many years, partly due to the layout of the houses. Many of these are placed in rows at right angles to the road with no allotted parking. This is exacerbated by the fact that the road itself is only wide enough for parking on one side. As there are no double yellow lines on Ridgeway Road, residents currently park on both sides very haphazardly, depending upon who arrives first. The result has been significant congestion, and access to emergency vehicles can be problematic. I know of at least one incident last year when a fire engine was not able to access the recreation ground at the end of the road until a resident's car had been moved. I'd therefore like to see implementation of this scheme accompanied by the provision of double yellow lines along one side of Ridgeway Road to ensure more orderly on-street parking in the future. And I hope that officers will be exploring how this can be achieved with County Highways. I appreciate it as a highway and County Highways matter. I'm pleased that the original scheme has been reworked to save two of the mature trees, and that those trees that are lost will be replaced by semi-mature trees. I would have preferred a more imaginative redesign that could have saved more of the trees without losing further parking spaces. This might have been achieved by spacing out the parking spaces around the existing trees. However, I will not object on those grounds, provided an adequate condition is imposed to ensure a comprehensive programme of tree planting. This needs to be significantly more than simple replacement of the number of trees lost. It should comprise native trees to encourage biodiversity and be imaginative enough to enhance the green spaces that are being retained around the estate. I welcome the inclusion of the water trap system, which was not in the original proposal, but I would like to hear more about what maintenance will be required for this system and assurances on how we can be sure that this will be done. Finally, I would like to see a condition imposed to require the installation of at least two and preferably more electric charging points. Now, I appreciate that this scheme was conceived long before the Council's declaration of a climate emergency, but I'm disappointed that, as the applicant is the Council itself, it has not been more dynamic in realising its duty to set an example. And I would draw your attention to Local Plan paragraph 6.25, which says that the following measures are examples of what could be incorporated into new developments to mitigate and adapt to the effects of climate change. One of those points is incorporating car charging points where viable and appropriate to do so. If we are to be encouraging private developers to install charging points in their new developments, then we have to be doing the same in the council's developments. And this is an ideal opportunity. Also, Leicestershire District Council needs to be encouraging their tenants to be adopting electric vehicles as quickly as possible. And I note in your report that's in front of you on page 43 under sustainability, where it talks about the ecological aspects, it does state that spaces would be available for environmentally friendly vehicles. So if we're encouraging environmentally friendly vehicles, then we do need to provide points for them to be charged. I don't want to see this application rejected, but I do hope that the committee has the power to impose a condition to require provision of at least two and preferably more charging points using one of the many networks available, such as the pub point system that we already provide at the new North Street car park. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Bigby. Does anyone have any questions to Councillor Bigby? No? Thank you. Now invite the officers to make comments.
Just going back on the point made about electric charging points, we have raised that with the relevant officers at council. They are proposed as part of this scheme. Before the application was submitted, there was a comprehensive public consultation exercise that was carried out, and the provision of electric charging points wasn't something that was raised at that time. So the current application doesn't propose that, and we don't have a planning policy that specifically requires electric charging points to be provided with schemes. However, if going forward there is the council to decide to include electric charging points, there would not be a requirement for planning permission, because the council have got permitted development rights to install such features. So our advice on this one is that we consider that the scheme is acceptable without the inclusion of electric charging points.
Thank you. I'll now open the debate up to the committee. Does anyone wish to speak? Yes, Councillor Hart. Approve the officer's recommendation.
Yeah, move officer's recommendation.
We should have a debate first. Yeah. Then one we should have again. I'd like to make one point. As far as electric charging is concerned, my understanding is, following discussion with officers, that if residents want electric charging points, that would not present a problem. It says that the residents, I understand, who approach the council and say, we need new charging points, and that would not be a problem. Councillor Legree.
Thank you, Chair. I think this is an excellent scheme, and I'm fully supportive of the scheme. I can't really get my head around and being a bit frivolous now why we have Zone A, Zone B, and then we go into Zone G. Unless the alphabet has changed, find that odd. Chair, I am going to support the a condition, if necessary, putting on for the inclusion of the electric charging points on this site. Chair, in all construction methods, is that it's going to mean digging out, moving of cables and other infrastructure there to get this scheme in. And whilst that's going on, I would have thought it would have been incumbent upon this council, particularly in our current financial situation, is that once we've got cables exposed and parking points moved out, it would be a darn sight a lot cheaper to install electric charging points at the actual construction stage rather than putting them in retrospectively X number of years ahead of time. This council, Chair, is that, and it is in the local plan, so I can discuss it. This council has approved, I think more or less unanimously, for a declaration of calming emergency, and we are incumbent to actually encourage people to put forward. Therefore, Chair, I'm going to propose that we do include a condition on this recommendation that the applicant must install at least two vehicle charging points on this application. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Green. Who else wishes to speak? Councillor Harrison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the purpose of clarity, if the officer could just reiterate that we haven't quite got our policy. I know, I understand it's all new stuff, but we haven't got an ongoing policy as yet. And I think the undertaking was, once we've got the policy, and hopefully this isn't going to take 5 years to get a policy, is it? Is this going to be taken in this next 12 months? We're going to have an active policy that we can then hang on to. Because I understand the emotion, but I mean, if we're going to do it properly, we must act within our framework and our proper policy. So I will support the officer's recommendation. And it's not, it's no slight to anybody or to the ward member, because he's done a good job bringing his thoughts and ideas. But what the officer has said, if members of the public of that ward, of that location, say, hey, we want one, because who knows who's going to get an electric car? You know, in community scrutiny, the gas pipe people said they're now putting different testing organ, different testing system to provide energy through their own pipes. So there's things happening all the time, and we just don't know how long all of this is going to be. So I'm happy to go with that and put my trust in the officer's words that we will look at this policy as soon as we can, because we've agreed it in full council, so we should have a policy now, sit beside this, so that we don't even have to debate it. It's just happened automatically, and it's in our agenda as we open it up and read it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Harrison. I think the point to take is the fact that it won't have to come back to planning committee, that officers can in fact agree to put in electric charging points. I think that's correct. And while they're doing the work, they'll obviously identify exactly the position of the cables. It won't really cost a great deal more to stick them in at a later date. But, Mr. Elson?
Yeah, just to reiterate what James says, at the moment that there isn't any policy requirement that we could impose to suggest that you would have to have electric charging points to make this development acceptable. So I think the imposition of those conditions will be unreasonable in terms of the tests and conditions. What we could do as a suggestion is put a note to applicant on the independent permission is granted to suggest that the applicant considers at least putting the infrastructure in for or charging points or something along those lines while they're doing the development. But I think a condition, while it's not, the charging points aren't part of this application, to impose a condition would be unreasonable.
Therefore, Chair, I'm going to move an amendment to officer's recommendation, if somebody seconds it, that we do include a condition of installing at least two electrical charging points as part of this application. Thank you, Chair. I so move.
Anyone willing to second that?
I'll second that, Chair.
Seconded. I think we have to take account of what Mr. Alston has said, and that is that it's an unreasonable condition that the council would not object to putting the charging points in the late day as and when requested, and really we should follow our officers.
With respect, Chair, is that an amendment has been proposed and seconded, and I think it would be polite to put that to the vote. That's my opinion.
Well,
we'll take a comment from our legal.
Before you go to the vote, my legal advice would be that in order for a condition to be reasonable, it must satisfy the test that's laid out in the NPPF. One of those being that it needs to be necessary. The condition needs to be necessary to allow the development. In my legal opinion, having this condition is not reasonable.
Right, we'll move to the vote then.
What, on the amendment?
Yeah,
that's it. Yes. It's been moved and seconded that we vote on the amendment. So everyone is absolutely clear, if you vote for the amendment, you're voting to put on a condition to supply two charging points, please.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So, Councillor Rokicki.
In view of the legal information we've just had, against.
Councillor Bridgen.
Against.
Councillor Canny.
Against.
Councillor Clark.
For.
Councillor Everett.
For.
Councillor Harrison.
Against.
Councillor Holt.
Against.
Councillor Geary.
For.
Councillor Legree.
For.
Councillor Smith.
Against.
So that's 4 for the motion, 6 against, therefore the motion has been lost.
Sorry, Councillor.
Yeah.
I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to say that when we get put concrete down, it's a brilliant idea. I want to see more and more of this, because it solves a really serious parking problem that exists throughout the area. When we do it, will we look at the grassy areas and instead of putting concrete, put down some, that kind of system, that plastic system, where you can cover the green areas and retain the aesthetic quality, and also you allow the water to drain away naturally instead of putting it into the system again and creating the kind of problems we've been talking about. Will that be considered in every case? Because it works brilliantly. It looks like it's a grassy area. It can put the cars on, they drive off, and it can be cut easily. That's the answer, I think.
And you can lift it off, get underneath, do what you need to do.
Can
we,
you can do, yeah.
Can we ask the comment before we do that?
Yeah, I think Councillor Everett referring to grasscrete. The substrate in that area wouldn't be suitable for grasscrete in this instance, but the applicants have put forward a drainage scheme which would include attenuation tanks underground, which is considered to satisfactorily address any surface water drainage issues.
Even though the grass can grow away.
So we now need an alternative motion. Someone like the person in Councillor Hock, I'll vote for the recommendation.
Second,
Councillor Keating. Thank you. So we'll move to the vote.
Councillor Akiki.
This is four officers' recommendation.
Four officers' recommendation.
Four.
Councillor Bridgham.
Four.
Councillor Canny.
Four.
Councillor Clark.
Four.
Councillor Everett.
Four.
Councillor Harrison.
Four.
Councillor Holt.
Four.
Councillor Geary.
Abstain.
Councillor Legree.
Four.
Councillor Smith.
Four.
Okay, four for the motion, one abstain, therefore the motion is passed.
Thank you. Thanks, councillors. We now close the meeting, and I'd like to thank everyone for their time and contribution. And I'll declare the meeting closed.
Awesome, Dean.